Okay. Well, if you'll go ahead and open your hymnals to 311. Have that ready. Thank you, ma'am. And then open your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 1, and then look down to verse 14. Okay, please stand in honor of our Lord and respect for our Lord, for the ever-living, eternally holy, inerrant, infallible, miraculously inspired written word of God, and for the God of the written word. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, as we've opened Your Word and read it, Lord, we ask that You bless the reading. Use it to grant us understanding of who You are and our relationship with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, the first point this morning, who is Jesus Christ? Just who is this person called Jesus Christ? Well, would it surprise you to know that this question has been asked ever since the first century when He walked the paths of the ancient Jerusalem and Palestine? His identity has never failed to cause a stir. So who exactly is Jesus? Well, the answer has ranged from demon to deity. It is imperative, though, that we know the right answer to this question. If we don't, we will not know how to interpret what He has done and what He has written through the writers. And if we are unable to interpret what He has done, folks, we will never be able to give ourselves to Him as He invites us to do. So, who is Jesus Christ? Well, there are three stories from the Gospels that I want to share with you this morning that point us to the awesome wonder of who Jesus is. Now, each story helps us to see both the human side of Jesus as well as the divine nature of Jesus. First, I want to point out two things, and that is that humans have compassion. Only God heals the sick. Now, Mark gives us a glimpse of Jesus, fully divine, fully human, when he records the healing of a man who had leprosy. He tells us in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, that the man came and fell on his knees before Jesus, and he begged Him, "If You are willing, You can make me clean." Now, I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of anyone who has had or has leprosy and know what it looks like. Their hands and their feet are often just bleeding stumps. They can't wear shoes because of the pain. And it's obvious for some of them, because they don't wear shoes, that they don't even have toes and part of their feet are gone. Now, just for a minute, picture this man, if you would. Here he is suffering, bleeding, excruciating pain with leprosy, bleeding stumps, and he comes and he falls down before Jesus, kneeling to him. And he says, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. In essence, what this leper is saying to Jesus is that, Jesus, I've heard about you, and I believe with every ounce and energy of my being that you are from God and that you have the power to heal. Now listen to me. Listen to what happens next. Jesus now, as a man, has compassion as he looks on this fellow human being who is in great need. You know how it is. You know, when you see someone in need, like when you're watching television and they show a picture of Africa or some other country, India or something, where people, you know, the children have cleft palates. And I saw a picture just the other day of this precious little child that had, I don't know, part of his nose was deformed and big lumps on his lip. And it was just, it was awful. You know, what, your heart goes out to people like that. When you see this, the tragedy of all of this just grabs a hold of you and your heart is moved with compassion. Your heart goes out to them and you literally ache for them because of the pain and discomfort. Well, folks, that's the feelings that Jesus had. The tenderness is there. And as you read the scripture, you can see he felt compassion. Jesus, the human side, the human nature was expressed. Undoubtedly, he felt compassion for this man. But, you know, he did more than just feel compassion for the man. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. In Mark chapter 1 verse 41 it mentions that. What an incredible picture here. You say, here's Jesus, the one who was fully human and yet fully divine, bringing a physical touch of gentle care to a desperately hurting man. Notice what happened next as we read Mark chapter 1, verses 41 and 42. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken it, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Isn't that neat? Wow. Folks, only God can do that. Only one who is fully divine can bring instant healing for our disease. Can you visualize this with me? The pain that had plagued this man disappeared. The hemorrhaging, the bleeding stopped. Instantly. And not only that, but healing took place. And folks, it wasn't that that nub was healed over. He had a hand. God healed him. He didn't just partially heal him. He gave him his toes back. He gave him his hands and his fingers. He gave him his nose back. He gave him his ears back. He was completely, totally healed. This gentle healer had done his work, revealing beyond any shadow of a doubt that he, Jesus, was in fact the Word become flesh. Luke reports of another story that took place at the Sea of Galilee. And he points out that humans sleep, but only God calms storms. You see, In the middle of Jesus' heavy schedule of traveling from town to town in Galilee, and remember, his traveling was like this, folks. He wasn't privileged to be able to go out here and to get in a vehicle like we have and take off. When he walked from Jerusalem to Nazareth, Galilee, up north from there, folks, you're talking 100 miles. How would you like to walk 100 miles? You know, he was tired. He was exhausted. So during the middle of all of his traveling from town to town in Galilee, he and his disciples got into a boat one day and started out for the other side. Now, as we look here in just a moment at Luke chapter 8, verse 23, we see what happened on that boat ride, and we see what Jesus did in regards to that. In Luke 8, 23, what happened? But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep. Jesus fell asleep. Now, I think that probably most of us would agree that if you were exhausted, tired, and you got in a boat and you were going out, you know how the rocking of the waves and feeling how soothing and relaxing that is? We'd go to sleep too. There's no question about the easy sailing and the restful sound of the water splashing against the side of the boat. And he zonked out. He was tired. But then, the question might come up to you, you know, but Brother Cliff, I thought God never slept. Because you see, in Psalm 121 verse 4, it says, "He who watches over Israel never slumber nor sleep." So what's, he can't be God then if he fell asleep, can he? Well, he was weary, the human side, from all that had gone on. And yes, he fell asleep. But now, folks, I want us to read the rest, as Paul Harvey would say, the story. In Luke 8, 23, in verse 24, let's see what happens. And, now this is right after, a little bit after he went to sleep. And a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. Have you ever been out in a dinghy, and all of a sudden the water gets kind of splashy on you, and it begins to splash in the boat? You know what it means to be swamped in a boat. That's not a comfortable feeling. I remember one time that boat that I had that we took to your place, I did an AJ. I forgot to put the plug in it. And I was out, my boys and I, we were fishing and we were catching gar and releasing them and all of this, having fun. And all of a sudden, Mark looks down and he says, "Dad, we got water in here." I thought, oh no, and I look, sure enough, there was the plug sitting over there on the side of the seat. I didn't plug it in, but I fired up that motor and I pushed it full speed forward to suck that water out. And fortunately, it wasn't so much in there where we couldn't get out. But boy, we were swamped. It was a scary feeling. Now that's the way these guys, you know, they didn't have a motor that they could fire up and get out of there. All they had was the wind, and the wind was not being that very friendly with them. And it was splashing the water in them inside of the boat. And all of they say, "Master, Master, wake up, wake up. We're going to die." Now, isn't that something? The disciples had already witnessed water being turned into wine. They had seen him not too much earlier cleanse a leper. And also, they had seen him raise a widow's son from the dead. Now, that I haven't read that story, but that's found in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 15. But yet, after seeing all of this, they still hadn't grasped the reality of Jesus as deity, the Son of the living God. So here they were in a boat with God in human flesh. And all they could say was, "We're going to sink." Now, folks, you do realize, don't you, that you can't sink when God is in the same boat that you are. Okay. Suddenly, and with just a few gentle words, everything turned calm. Just like that. Now, folks, only God can do a thing like that. And as you think back of the times that you've been out on a lake or the ocean or somewhere where the water has been raging, the white caps have been coming over and all. You know, even when I pulled in to dock, I do not ever remember the raging splashing of the water instantly becoming slick. Never in my whole life have I ever seen that. But folks, that's what happened. Now, probably that happened and the boat was doing this and it began to settle then. And that was the only movement that was on that lake at that time. That's eerie. My dear people, never, ever, ever doubt this one thing. When you are in the tragic storms of life, the Almighty God, who specializes in calming waves and silencing winds, is right there holding you in His mighty arms. Now, He might shock you at times, and you might ask, "How on earth can you do this, Lord?" But remember, He is God. My third story, and the fourth point this morning, is that humans weep, but only God raises the dead. Now, John in his gospel paints a memorable scene that involves Jesus' friend Lazarus. Now, according to John, Lazarus became suddenly ill. And he was so ill that he died. I don't know, maybe it was like the flu that we're having going around here now. You hear of children and some adults getting sick just like that. And within a couple of days, they have passed away. I don't know whatever the disease, whatever the sickness was, he died quickly. 4 days later, after he had died and was buried, Jesus arrives in Bethany. Now, he was greeted there when he came. He was greeted with confusion. And when you read the scripture, you can hear reprimand in the voice of Mary and Martha as they came to him. You know, you could hear and see in their words wondering, "Why didn't you drop everything, Jesus, and come immediately to help me right then?" Now, it's bad enough to be blamed for things, and I've been blamed for a lot. But it's worse when your friends accuse you and of not caring. Now, that's another matter. Now, John chapter 11, verse 32 says, Martha said, "Lord, if you had been here," can't you hear the reprimand in that? "If you had just been here, Lord, my brother would not have died." Now, in our Lord's humanity, He experienced the same depth of emotions that we experience as human beings. Look at what John wrote, chapter 11, verses 33 to 35.
When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. The human side of Jesus. Now the Gospels paint a full picture of Jesus' humanity as he faced heartbreak and suffering. You see, this family was very special to him. They were close friends, like a brother type of friends to him. Do you have somebody that close to you? You know, it's special. Now, this was a scene that would make any of us cry. But watch what happens next in verses 38 to 41. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man. By this time, there's a bad odor. She was being very nice. There's a bad odor, for he's been dead for 4 days. Then Jesus said, I can just add a little here. "Martha, Martha, Martha, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Get this now. Jesus was going to bring Lazarus back to life? Really? Yeah, right. A person who had been dead for 4 days and as Martha said, he had a bad odor. And he was wrapped in grave clothes. Understand, these grave clothes have been soaked in stuff. You can't breathe through them. It's wrapped tight around them to keep the body from doing what a rotten body will do in being careful in what I say and nice. They were thinking all of this. He gave the command, take away the stone. Then look what happens in verses 41 to 43. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" Now he had to say Lazarus, because if he said come out, everybody in that cemetery would have come out. He specifically said, "Lazarus, come out." What a moment that must have been. I bet you could have heard a pin drop when he did that. The apprehension, the fear, the unknowing of what is about to happen. Is he really? He can't. No, not. But then all of a sudden, there's movement. There's a shadow at the entrance of the cave. And then they see this mummy walk out of the cave. Probably hop out, because I imagine his legs were wrapped together so tight. But look at verse 44. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Who is this Jesus? Folks, he is God in human flesh with human emotions. Yet he is fully divine, for only God can raise the dead. And folks, Jesus did more than one occasion. Yes, he is who he claimed to be, deity, the Son of the living God, our Lord, our Creator, our Redeemer and Savior, come in human form to serve, to suffer, to die, to be raised to life, that we might see how magnificently he really is, and that we might fellowship with him throughout all eternity. Believe it or not, folks, all of this that we've been talking about here began in a manger. But you know what? It ends in your heart. Has there ever been a time in your personal life when you actually ask Jesus to occupy your heart and your life? Does he have first place in your heart? Does he reign there without a rival, meaning the world? The Lord Jesus Christ is available in the same form he has been for centuries upon centuries. The Son of God who died for you, who paid the price to redeem you from your sin, who was miraculously raised from the dead, who is alive today and seated at the right hand of God the Father in glory, and who will one day come again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to him. And who will reign for eternity. This same God, this same Jesus is waiting for your invitation this morning. Your invitation for him to enter your life if you've never asked him to do that before. If you will just ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to come and be your Savior and your personal Redeemer and to be Lord of your life. He will. He will come into your heart, into your life, and he will be your friend. He will be your Savior and he will be your Lord. Folks, in the solitude of this moment this morning, I ask, make room in your heart for the Lord Jesus if you've never done that. I encourage you to pause right now to think and to tell Jesus that you love him, that you want him, and you ask him to forgive you, and that you're ready to give him that place of honor and authority in your heart, in your life. Then I'm going to ask you to do something else. I'm going to ask you to come and tell me, "Oh, but Brother Cliff, I can't get up and walk down there. Tell you that." Well, it's necessary, folks. And it's of the utmost importance that when you make that decision, you come and tell me. Why? Because you see, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus himself said this, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." You see, the coming down and telling me what you have done, that you've asked Jesus to forgive you and to come into your heart and to be your personal Savior and Lord, is your way of saying to him, "I'm sincere about this decision. I really mean it. So I'm asking, will you do that this morning if you've never done that?" It's so important. Will you make that decision and then come and tell me? As we stand and as we sing our song of invitation, make that decision and come and tell me this morning.